Tea Time Black Women Talk is a show created by a black network bringing talented, Imperial Awakened Black women, sharing their theories, ideas, mindset, and bringing evolution to the table, aka time. Sip, sip, caution, it might be hot. As usual, you're not going to get a show without us unless it's extreme circumstances. We all wanted to be on for this show coming up. The Foreplay. We have Mo the Oracle, Mia X, EB, and I am Tam IE.
My man is your man.
Are we about to get into the foreplay or what?
All right. What topic do you want to start with, Mo?
I want to do the if everybody's familiar with the Russell Simmons accusations, you know, rape accusations or sexual harassment accusations, but it's the topic is bigger than Russell Simmons. You know, this is obviously stems from, you know, the Harvey Weinstein effect, which is, you know, the first person that got the media took hold of and accused him of continued sexual harassment. And then, how now that they inundated the media with that, those first sexual harassment accusations, and the media cycle has slowed down. Now the picture is being painted, you know, with a black face as the image of rape culture. So I wanted to start with the Russell Simmons topic.
All right. Where's your, you got some literature?
Yeah, it's pop culture, and I know I said I was going to stay away from that, but I wasn't able to get into any of the, dynamics of any of the other topics. So basically, everything that's out there about Russell Simmons is just, you know, short of a Google, and all the sources are pretty much saying the same thing. It's 6 or 7 women that are accusing him of some type of inappropriate conduct, and as far as rape. And then there's one incident that initially, the first one that initially came out, where he was accused by someone in the industry. And when the details of that situation came out, he stepped down from his enterprise. And now, after that, 6 or 7 more accusations have came out.
So, should I just go for NPR?
Yes.
So, January 25th, the hip-hop fashion and entertainment mogul Russell Simmons has been publicly accused of rape and sexual assault by 37-year-old filmmaker Jennifer Jarosick. She is now one of more than a dozen women who have accused Simmons of sexual misconduct and allegations ranging from harassment to assault, and the 6th woman to publicly accuse Simmons of rape. Jarosick's lawsuit was filed Wednesday in California Central District Court seeking $5 million in damages. In the suit, Jarosick alleges that Simmons raped her in August 2016, 10 years after she says that she first met him. They became friends. The suit states, as they shared a love and passion for mediation, yoga, and a vegan diet. And Simmons later offered to be interviewed for a documentary film she was making. According to Jarosick, he also offered to co-produce and finance her film project. The lawsuit asserts that Jarosick was invited to Simmons' house in Los Angeles in August 2016, where Jarosick arrived. Simmons allegedly asked her to have sex with him, to which she allegedly said no. The lawsuit continues. Simmons got aggressive and pushed plaintiff Jarosick on his bed. Plaintiff tried to force defendant to stay away from her, and in doing so, defendant knocked plaintiff off his bed, and plaintiff hit her head, and then defendant pounced on her while she was still in shock and fear and proceeded to, I don't want to read no more.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, girl.
Some of that. And the details in the other accusations are similar. It all centered around business or some form of business, social entertainment, but business and him getting himself a loan. The first accusation that came out was a young lady where they were at an event after party, and Russell provided a ride home to several individuals and ended up at the end of the night in a car alone with a young lady where she thought, just like he took everybody else home, he was going to take her to her home, but instead he went to his own private residence. And the only people that were left in the car was a driver who was also slash security, who was a big guy, and Russell Simmons. So when they pulled up to his residence, which was in in New York, you pull into a garage, and then from the garage, there was an elevator. She went to an elevator, and the elevator went directly to his house or penthouse or whatever you call it. So it wasn't like a public, you know, it wasn't somewhere where you could yell for help and expect to hear anybody. Once you got into the garage, it was like being in somebody's private residence. Because of the elevator, and then the elevator went straight to his apartment or penthouse or whatever. So she felt completely helpless. And, you know, and then from there, the details are similar to what you heard from what you just read.
So I guess I have to finish and give his quote unquote side, which says, in December, Simmons proclaimed in a series of posts on Instagram that he has never had a sexual encounter that was not consensual or lawful ever. And that in the days immediately following, he would be publicly sharing information that would exonerate him of all rape charges, beginning with the allegations made by model Carrie Clausman Kalingi, and then separately by writer Jenny Lumet. So, no such proof has been made public. In November, Simmons stepped down from his business after Lumet chronicled her allegations in an open letter published by The Hollywood Reporter. This morning, Simmons issued a new statement via publicist Eric Rose, which echoes some of the language in Simmons' previous statements. Simmons called the claims by Jerosik and other women horrific accusations that shocked me to my core, repeating that all of the relations have been consensual. What I will not accept is responsibility for what I have not done, Simmons' statement continued. Although I have been candid about how I have lived in books and interviews detailing my flaws, I will relentlessly fight against any untruthful character assassination that paints me as a man of violence. What is new in Simmons' statement today is a declaration that he will not litigate this matter in the media. I look forward to having my day in court, where unlike the court of public opinion, I will have the ability to make use of fair processes that ensure that justice will be done and the full truth will be known, he said. I really want to talk about that part, but this is your what's the face, Mo? So
this is my topic.
Yeah.
And you know, basically what I want to bring the topic around to is, you know me, I like to go straight to the conclusion. You know, how do we deal with the impact of this? Because no matter what, you know, the Black community is going to suffer for this, you know. I think it's okay to say that the lifestyle that and the access that Russell Simmons had was similar to another gentleman that, you know, people have talked about, and I don't want to bring his name up directly, in the entertainment industry. It was, you know, I am allowed to do this. I'm allowed to act this way. I'm allowed to do this. So now it's no surprise that he would describe his behavior as consensual, because I really believe that they believe that it's consensual. You know, so nevertheless, I think the way that we handle that in the Black community is the real topic here, because it destroys us when the image is painted as Black men being the epitome of rape culture, instead of where its natural origins come from. And you say, okay, well, how does that help, you know, rape victims, and how do we stop that whole lifestyle from, you know, infiltrating our community and having an impact on our community like that? And that will speak to how much, you know, how much access we actually give to European ideology and European standards, and how much to the detriment it puts us in, you know, into those areas that negatively impact us. So that's kind of where I go. But I know the details on these things are crucial, and exposing a certain mentality is important so that, you know, these predatory things don't consume us. But there's more than just one programming that went on here. There's more than just, you know, women being subjected to a certain type of behavior. It is also men being subjected to a certain type of programming as well.
So, are all the women white?
You know, I think Russell Simmons is not a, he's an equal opportunity
that's not
person
funny,
in terms of who he will entertain.
Is it? Is it? Because the last three, I'm asking, because the last three are white. So were the first three white? Were the first, it's six of them, right? Or they say it's a dozen.
I think it's about a half a, or as he said, about a half a dozen accusations.
Black man, please. Leave these white women alone.
Nope. Let them keep on.
Jesus Christ. I'm not that I'm denying their allegations. I'm just, it gets frustrating because that seems to be, you know, even with Bill Cosby, like, but anyways, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that we all fall for, which is why I said I wanted to say something about the thing at the end where he was saying he looks forward to having his day in court, where, unlike a court of public opinion, I'm sorry. If you get a trial, bruh, that's public opinion. And second of all, did you forget you black? Like,
right.
Okay. I don't give a damn. Like,
they took down everybody's favorite TV dad, Russell Ewing.
These people play too much, man. I mean, and I'm really not familiar with the case beyond just reading it and Mo talking about it. But it's just unfortunate. It is unfortunate. It's unfortunate for the black man. It's unfortunate for the image. You know, then you got to go back to the black woman, because if you go to The Fix, which is another one of our podcasts on the Freedom Train Radio, you know.
Dude.
Right, Joe. Shout out to Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When, if he ever did a rant about this, he's gonna tell you to f you, f your mama, and f everybody else that roll with you. So, you know, if Russell is out there acting an ass, you know, then it goes back, and they're like, well, where did his mama go wrong? You know, it's just a trickle effect, and then we as a community have supported him, as far as I know. I don't want to speak out of turn, so y'all correct me if I'm wrong. But we as a community have supported him, and, you know, now we're here. And if the allegations are proven true, you know, we must be slightly embarrassed. You know, what do we do with that? You know, do we take you in the back and flog you? Because, you know, at some point I think celebrities think they're invincible. And some, they need a person in their corner. You know, they need a squad that just keeps them
grounded.
On the level. Yeah. Yeah, what happened to that one person?
Right, right. But, you know, that speaks to our level of wanting and needing the other society's acceptance of us, you know, and what we measure as success. Because right now, Russell Simmons has a publicist or a fixer that's working on this with him right now, and all of his statements are canned. This is what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, I'm looking forward to my day in court, or I'm looking forward to proving my innocence. These is all, it's not true. What he's really looking forward to is a settlement, something where he could sweep these things up under carpet after a while, let the media dialogue die down, and come out with some money to appease these situations, and then have them go away. And then in an 8 or 10 year period, he will rebuild and rebrand himself somewhere else. And that will be his measure of, you know, success. Meanwhile, let's not forget Russell Simmons. He got daughters, and those daughters are in the industry. Would you want them to be, somebody to come after them like that? That's the crazy part.
Thing I be trying to tell these men, like, all jokes aside, black and white, purple, red, indifferent. Like, you got daughters, you got mothers, you got sisters. Like, I just, that part, I don't understand. You want to whoop somebody's ass about touching your daughter or saying something about your mama, but you
out here acting like a complete
yeah. Yeah, like I don't get it. I don't get where the line just. I just don't get where you don't draw the line. Like, I was asking my husband, like, the other day, like, what is wrong with society as a whole? Like, where do we get this sense of entitlement? Where do we get this sense of, like, this sexuality where it's to the point where it's just got to have it, it's needed, it's okay? Like, it's just not. Like, it makes me so sad. It makes me so sad. I don't get it. Like, I don't know.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you have the image that we were once wholesome?
Well,
I think I do.
We do. We definitely were a lot more protective.
Yes.
Our
community. That I agree with. I definitely agree with.
I feel like, and I could be wrong, like, I always want to know, to an extent, and I'm slightly scary, but I always want to know what it was like to live when we first emerged from slavery, like, you know, where we were a proposed, or so the historians say, like, a real community, you know, like, where we had our doctors, where we had our, you know, stores, and we were struggling to make it, but we were struggling together, where things were respected. I'm not saying that there weren't shenanigans going on, because God knows, like, my family has some secrets where I think, you know, we got some sister cousins in the family, you know. But I just think there was a sense of pride, like, you know, where things, it was so, I don't know if it was a good thing that it was taboo or swept under the rug. But I just think there was just more a sense of a respect, you know, like, there was just more respect to me. I mean, from what I hear, I mean, of course I didn't live it, but that's where I think, like, the togetherness. Now, as far as society as a whole, like the whole America, you know, I don't know. I think America has kind of been wild from day one.
You know. Well, anywhere Europeans go. debauchery will surely follow.
Look, let me look up that.
I mean, because listen,
you know. Hey, EB, how you spell that? Debauchery.
Debauchery. But they, you know, listen, Christopher Columbus didn't even come over here clean. You know, syphilis,
sure
gonorrhea.
Did.
You know, so we, you know, obviously we understand that that was a part of a culture that landed here, but that protectiveness that we had was well documented. The thing that happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, happened because the black community, excuse me, was trying to protect a teenage black kid that was being accused of either whistling or saying something inappropriate to a white woman. And then we have other instances in our community, such as Maya Angelou, who wrote in her book Why Caged Birds Sing, in regards to her personal experience when she was raped by a community member, and that community, you know, that community rallied around her, and, you know, that man was never seen again. So, you know, we protected, you know, young ladies, we protected young kids in our community. We had an overall sense of black first, or protecting our community. And now, because we're getting further and further away from that, falling for the mantra of kumbaya, we all the same, there's no difference between black and white, even though we still being discriminated against, we still believe when somebody says to us, oh, we bleed the same, yet I get paid less than you do. But okay, you know. So
are you, I was like you're making a leeway into our Monique conversation.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, well, that's exactly where that conversation would lead into, and why we have to, you know, we have to back up a little bit and recognize where, if we don't move towards a sense of community, if you don't want to say black first, then you at least have to move towards a sense of being in some community that provides you the protection you need to raise your kids and create generations of wealth and health. And right now, going by the European standard of success, the European standard of education is hurting us. And they use pop culture to continue to perpetuate the same ideals.
And we can be educational. So debauchery is D E B A U C H E R Y, and it is excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Anyway, I just thought I'd add.
Ding, 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 ding.
There is this story that I'm sure EB would like to tell, so I try to do my due diligence to make sure I pronunciate my words appropriately. Because I had a mishap,
a huge one,
in the 11th grade, where I had never seen chaos in writing, and I said Chehus, and EB happened to witness that and has not let me live it down 17 years later. So, yeah.
It was just one of those things that was, at the time, extremely funny. And it has not been erased from my soul, so, you know.
I guess she said I said it multiple times. I was doing
a lot of times. A lot of times.
And I was reading something out of a book, but I had never seen chaos before, which I consciously do not call Chehus. but anyways, so I just had to make sure I was on point with debauchery and how to spell it and what it looks like so that I don't mess that up one day.
I think that Chase is cute.
Chase?
Girl, listen. When you're trying to film a presentation in class for your English teacher and you know your friend is just really just fucking wearing up, I just,
Lord have mercy. I was brought here.
She ain't trying to say chaos. She didn't shout out chaos at all. She just falls out laughing. I'm trying to figure out what's so funny. Tracy.
Actually, I did not laugh out loud. I was in the back of the classroom crying.
And laughing like an idiot. And I'm trying to figure out and hold my composure. You see how tripe she is? Ask her, what's wrong?
It's still funny like it was yesterday. Oh, help me.
Oh, my God.
anyway.
Follow suit. They can't say nothing. They were doing a presentation on the respiratory system, and one of them said nozzle, which was nasal. I said, oh, God.
Messy.
Passing stuff on. But go ahead.
So back to you, Mo. What do you feel is the main takeaway from the Russell Simmons debate that's going on right now, I suppose?
Yes, good, great. So basically, I do believe that we need to set our own standards. The same thing I probably say every week, set our own standards of success, set our own standards of education, and definitely be a sense of community so that we can avoid some of these things. Because I wholeheartedly do believe that Russell Simmons was a little bit, or he was doing his credit to being a predator, a sexual predator, you know. However, I think that if we still get into these surface conversations about this subject and don't start root causing why we are okay with this behavior and why it's, you know, it's been widely accepted like this, then we'll never resolve them. And then if we want to resolve them, then we'll go to the root of this, which is our acceptance of European culture, if you ask me, and an unnatural acceptance of it. If it was healthy, then we wouldn't probably be at this juncture. But an unnatural acceptance of that leads to us doing things that are outside of our cultural norms. So getting back to that community first is probably the ideal solution.
Got you. So another thing yet for us to put into practice. And with that being said, I feel like your last statement really kind of leads us into, you know, another area of this foreplay conversation, and that is with the controversy with basically Monique versus Netflix. Is everybody pretty familiar with what's going on with that issue?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's, the way the information is being presented is it's basically a two-sided coin. Monique, of course, asked people to boycott Netflix because of the amount of money that they were going to offer her in regards to her, was it her stand-up comedy special?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, just comparing herself to other people, it sounded like it should be a joke. Although, you know, $500,000 is nothing to, you know, look down on. But, you know, $500,000 versus $11 million and $20 million is sort of a big deal. So in the realm of the discussion, Monique points out that she believes that it's because she is a black woman that she is not getting what she is due. She compared herself to big names like, Amy Schumer, who got paid the $11 million to do her comedy special, and Dave Chappelle, who is a black male, who got paid $20 million for his stand-up special. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of the coin, people are saying that she is asking for much more than she's worth, being that she's not as relevant as she used to be or isn't a current main attraction. We know that Monique has been, I don't know if it's a self-blackball or if she's just kind of been blackballed in the industry. I don't even know how that part of it occurred. But she did, to me, kind of diminish her stardom in the industry. So I get kind of lost in the debate myself because from a business standpoint, if you're not popping, why am I paying you that amount of money? But from a standpoint that she's coming from, is it truly gender discrimination or even color discrimination at all? Or, I'm sorry, racial discrimination. I ain't gonna say color because we're not colored. And I just want to kind of see where you guys stood in the conversation and also looking to go deeper.
We not colors, but we flavors, though.
No. Hey!
Yum, yum.
Yeah. I have something to add to this conversation really quickly about this because I'm not as versed on it. But as far as Monique was concerned, I would just want everybody to start the conversation as to why is an Oscar award-winning woman not as relevant in her career right now? Why not? Is it because she the roles that she's offered? Is it because of, you know, the material that's out there? What are the reasons why? And I think if we look at some of those reasons, I think we'll see a much more nefarious angle here that actually keeps women of color or black women down in this industry than what's being painted just as this is a good business deal. It doesn't make sense to pay Monique this because she's not drawing this. What makes Amy, I've listened to Amy Schumer, she's not funny to me. Not only is that, Amy Schumer has been accused over and over again of stealing material from guess who?
Black people.
Yeah, Monique. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I'm, you know, and so I'm just kind of, I would like to see those whole dynamics of what makes a star at any given moment, and how come an Oscar award-winning woman such as Monique is not star material right now? What happened? What was the deal? You know what I'm saying? Because I know some people that was just absolutely hard to work with, but you still couldn't take away from their star power because they were promoted to be in that area because somebody was making some money off of it. What's the deal? I'm just saying, it's those questions beg to be answered.
I have a question. I thought that Netflix, that she contacted Netflix, right? They didn't contact her initially,
no,
right?
No, Netflix actually contacted her and said, we'll give you $500,000 to do a comedy special.
I thought that was after she contacted them.
Mm-mm.
And then I read an article that said they initially offered her $2 million, but she lied and said $500,000. Did y'all see that?
I don't know the source of that. I think Netflix stood firm at $500,000.
But I'm just trying to figure out how Netflix got $11 million and $500,000 and all of that in the first place. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Because
is it that many downloads for Netflix?
We can't pretend like Amy Schumer wasn't selling out arenas across the country. So, you know, but like I said, what makes Amy Schumer so funny, much more funny than Monique?
Because
she's relevant right now. Mm-hmm. And
she's relevantly stealing people's material, but okay.
I mean, I agree with you. To me, I feel like it was a bit, I don't really feel like it's like a racist thing. I feel like it was like a business thing because, to my understanding, she actually was the one to contact Netflix, and they bargained with her and say, hey, you know, we're willing to do that if you audition and whatnot. They'll give her this amount. But I don't feel like she compares to a Dave Chappelle or whoever she named. Not right now. I don't even remember what she did recently. What was it? She did the last holiday or something. I don't know that, but what has she done recently? I understand she won an Oscar, but what has she done? And if you have to contact Netflix in order to be even considered, they wasn't thinking about you in the beginning. You have to stay relevant in that business. That's the type of business she's in.
So the first question was, First question.
Why isn't she relevant? Why isn't she relevant? What kind of other? No. I mean, we would be hard pressed to believe we didn't been there. How many of y'all, without being in that industry, have worked somewhere and somebody has done your evaluations, or you compared your work to other people and you know that you should be higher up on the promotion ladder than what you are, but because of the people who are doing the evaluating, because of the people who are deciding who gets to be promoted, you're not on that. You're not on that ladder or that rung. So we cannot. Let's not take that away from Monique. Like she wouldn't put herself out there to continue to work. She worked. Let's look at her career before she got the pressure. She was working.
Yeah, she.
So all of a sudden, you mean to tell me she dropped off? Not only did she, but listen, she didn't have no. She wasn't Chaka Khan in it. She wasn't snorting 50 lines of cocaine. You know what I'm saying? Or she wasn't doing drugs. She was out there losing, as far as I'm to see, she was out there losing weight, getting healthy, putting out videos talking about uplifting people. So it looked like she was leading a good lifestyle or whatever to a degree, you know what I'm saying? So why would she drop off? You mean her work ethic changed that much? It's hard to believe that, but okay.
It is a dirty business.
You ain't never lied.
Well, I heard. It is a dirty business.
See, I'm not, like, familiar, like, beyond her stand-up itself, which her stand-up is funny depending
it's
on the type of, depends on what you're, you know, she capitalized on the, you know, the skinny bitch movement, so, a movement, but it depends on what you're looking for in a comedian. But to say that, you ask me, Dave Chappelle is not funny either.
He ain't funny to me either, but everybody loves some Dave Chappelle.
I don't know why. It wasn't until, what'd you say?
No, I just like how he speaks about the injustices, like he's open with it, you know?
Right.
But as far as a comedian standpoint, I try to get into his stuff, but I'm just not into him like that. I don't know why. I just even like what's a little short little midget?
Cat Williams or Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
He's not funny to me. Kevin Hart just
not
funny.
He's not funny to me now. He does funny things. Like when he be dancing on the Niagara lot, he be having me dying. But as far as like that comedic standpoint, I'm just not sold with him. I'm just not. See, I'm a Martin fan. I'm a diehard, like, hardcore Martin fan.
Gotcha.
I feel like it doesn't get no better than Martin. That's just my opinion. But
you just don't hear some. You don't hear people say hardcore no more these days, but okay.
Hey, well, hey, I'll bring it back. I don't mind. So, hey, it is what it is. But, yes, I love me some Martin.
I mean, I guess I don't know. I mean, I think it's just in the eye of the beholder. I mean, but I was just looking up some things. I mean, it's not that she hasn't appeared on Netflix to some extent. Shaq did a All-Star Comedy Jam on Netflix, and she is in one of those as, like, the main person. And there's another black lady I'm looking at on the cover with D.L. Hughley and...
Is it some more?
No, it's not some more. It's this guy...
Because some more is funny.
She's not that funny to me either.
I'm sorry, she's funny. I like her.
Is that...
I like her,
Mo, is that old school funny?
It might be old school funny, you know what I'm saying? Like she's like that chick from around the
hood.
That's a shot. You know what I'm saying? I'll take that. You know, because listen, I'm nestling into my 44 year old. she like that. You know, that chick from the hood, and I like that.
She most definitely is.
She from the hood. Ain't that Nia Long's sister?
It is.
Is she, you know, San Bernardino hood.
Oh, okay.
You know, Sandra, not good, but you say that again?
I said San Bernardino is actually pretty rough, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got you. So, let me see. That was...
I'm still at odds with this whole conversation in regards to Monique. Only because I know her body of work has been excellent. Like, she has done a lot. And I just feel like it's really hard to compare an entire body of work to relevance at this point in time. I just think that it's almost a separate thing. That's like saying, like, who is somebody else that I just wouldn't watch there? Like, just and when, how long has it been since she won an Oscar? And does the Oscar necessarily translate that she's going to generate revenue in regards to her special that comes out? Like,
it does for other Oscar winners.
Huh?
It does for other Oscar winners.
Does it?
Mhm. Yes. All the ones except for the first woman who won an Oscar. Who died broke. But for other, for other Oscar winners, yeah, Denzel Washington. Their star power, but their income went up.
Gotcha.
The type of roles they were offered, the quality went up.
And right, I'm sure he had to audition for a lot of stuff too, though.
What happened?
I don't think the process changes for them. You know what I'm saying? For the most part, I don't think it changes for them unless they open their own studios and start writing their own stuff. You know, even some of the top people still have to audition. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She's not, and I can't take away from what she has done. She has done a lot. But you have to understand the dynamics of the business that you're in. You know, yes, she won an Oscar, I get that. However, with Netflix, you haven't really been on the scene too high. And if you find yourself contacting them, trying to bargain, then if they offer you an opportunity, although they didn't initially consider you to begin with, but then they like, okay, hey, sure, but you got to audition. Why not just audition? I just don't see the big deal, you know, and then, you know, she got upset and then she went and wanted everybody boycott because of that. But I feel like it was an ego thing with her because she felt like, why do I have to audition if Dave Chappelle did? Well, Dave Chappelle is still relevant, you know. So is the white girl y'all talking about. I don't know too much about her, but I'm familiar with who she is. But, I mean, that's...
How did Dave Chappelle stay relevant, though? You know how much time he took off?
Yeah, but he had his way of coming back to the scene. He was just recently hosting, he hosted the Grammys. Before that, he was on, they did something.
SNL.
Matter of fact, it was a Netflix special. And I think it was a comedy thing. Matter of fact, yeah. All the comedians was on there. It was him, DLC, all of them.
Yeah.
So there are ways and opportunities. And she could have potentially, huh?
That's the only time I thought he was funny.
When?
Death Jam
comedy. Yeah,
tribute.
That's what it was. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
but the thing about it, you know he wasn't acting, right? He was dead serious when he said he doesn't like to read out loud.
Right, right.
Now,
but that shit was hilarious.
It was. But I think it was that funny because he had that candid type of comedic thing feel he gave to the audience. Like, we knew he was real. He wasn't faking. And then I'm like, I think he's serious right now. But it did come off as being funny. But I just feel like you do have to stay relevant in anything that it is that you do. You know, you can't ever get to the point where you feel like, oh, I have arrived, so I don't have to do this or I don't have to do that. Because you got to keep up in the game. That's, even I just do hair. And I know better. I don't ever get to the point where I get comfortable. Now, I don't know why she hasn't been on the scene. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, she wishes to get back on the scene that she contacted Netflix. But you can't ever get to the point where you feel like somebody owe you something. And I think that's where she needed to take a step back, go ahead and get that audition so you can get that $2 million and move on and stay in the mix of things. I don't really see the big argument here, but somebody.
Even with Dave Chappelle, one of the ways that he was able to, I believe, stay random is, I mean, not random, to stay relevant was, he was riding the wave of the one TV special that he had with the Chappelle Show. And to me, I love the show. I'm not even going to lie. I thought it was hilarious sketch comedy. And he had garnered a pretty big following on it. And it kind of stopped in the middle of things. So it stopped while people were wanting more. It was one of those things that kept people talking for a long enough period, like, okay, well, when is he coming back? Because we were expecting more out of that show, and we want more because it was so funny, and we were not expecting it in, like, when it ended. It only did 2 seasons. So he was able to kind of ride that popularity wave by people still anticipating that one day he would return to the scene to do something as what they consider revolutionary as, you know, as the Chappelle Show. I mean, his box set did very well. That special just did very well from him. I don't think a lot of people expected that, but that was one of the ways he stayed relevant.
You're right. I think I did see that on, it was on Netflix, right?
No, it was on Comedy Central.
Oh, okay.
Dave Chappelle has a couple of different things, a couple of different places. But
and everybody loves him and knows him. Like, he has a different audience from her, too. He's black and white. Like,
He does have black and white. He does have black and white. Because I think Monique is more black-based and not white-based.
Right.
So she's looking for the crossover.
That's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
but, I mean, it's not like she, you know, with Shaq's thing, I mean, she was on Netflix. And Melanie Camacho and Jennifer Sears. But I will say, after I did a review, and I could be wrong, but overall, there are no black female comedians on Netflix. So.
Tiffany Haddish? Excuse me, Tiffany Haddish?
Tiffany Haddish?
She's a newcomer, sort of. She did the Girls Trip.
She wasn't on Netflix yet. She wasn't on Netflix. Mm-mm. No. So, and that's a whole nother show, too. That's a whole nother show. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I guess, what would your other question be? Is it, like, boycott worthy?
And
no.
The thing is, I don't think so. And it's hard for me because I want to be that type of person to protect people in my community as well. But it's kind of hard for me to stand by it. It's like watching a train wreck. I want people to get what they're owed, what's due to them. But I don't think, and this is just my personal opinion, I just don't think Monique has the star power to garner a check for $20 million or $11 million. She's just not doing those type of numbers right now. Now, if she were to get back in the lab, change some things around, get her wheels moving again, because, I don't know, something else happened, guys. I can't remember exactly what it was. But Monique was kind of blackballed in Hollywood. I think they were saying that she was difficult to work with, or it was something that happened before this issue.
It was with Lee Daniels and Precious in the whole movie, the turnout for Precious. It was regarding Lee Daniels and her not getting paid from Precious. But never, you know, listen, I think we forget, you know, that it shouldn't just be about business for us too. And not to mention, the only reason why I think this boycott was just a cry in the wrong direction
is because we really needed to be building our own systems, true, you know, that compare or compete with a Netflix. And somebody like Monique could do that. But yet, you know, we continue to beg for them to include us in their puzzles and their thing, when we know that, and I know Monique probably has instances where she feels like she was not offered the quality of roles that she should get. And yeah, you know, when we get away from saying, you know, I only want what I deserve or what I owe, who's setting the standard for deserve and owe? Because y'all owe me. Y'all owe all my ancestors. So y'all, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like y'all got to start paying up. You know, I don't ask for more than I deserve. Who says? Because y'all still ain't paid no reparations yet as far as I'm concerned. But y'all pay every other culture reparations. So if she feel like she deserves something, then, you know, Monique, go ahead and get it or expose the system. But don't forget about building your own. Why do we have to continue to ask them to create something and get something from them when we can create our own?
True. That's
yeah, I got a healthy sense of entitlement. Y'all going to pay me, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, for every backlash, you know what I'm saying, we had to pay. Y'all going to pay.
But I do stand corrected. So Monique, and this is what makes it even more interesting, Monique has actually been on Netflix before with the I Could Have Been Your Cellmate in 2006. And then there's a lady named Leslie Jones that had a little special in 2009.
SNL.
She's a black lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she started in Ghostbusters.
I don't know all of that, but
yeah,
okay. She was on there too. So I stand corrected. But I mean, so that's even interesting. You know, Netflix had her once. Was it because of how that show did? That, you know,
and that was 12 years ago.
Yeah, it was 12 years ago, but still, I guess one of the fellas, when they did their show, Freedom Train Radio, they had an interesting point, which was, so if we boycott Netflix and then she gets what she wants, is she going to put that money back into the community?
No.
And so I felt like that was an interesting angle. You know, but it's just, as I can understand, I love the point that you gave, Monique, as far as, you know, we've all been blackballed and we all feel like we're entitled and owed. But there's also, I guess she's using her platform to be vocal about it, but there's a sense of, what's the word? Tact. When it comes to, like, exploiting everybody's pay. Like, that's the only issue that I've had with it.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I don't think that it was fair for her to point out certain... If you were going to go after Amy Schumer, I have no problem with that. You know, but you went after people who have a record of supporting the community and hiring, you know, black writers.
Right.
I don't know that Monique has that reputation in the industry, and it's widely known the people who do. So, you know, it's a little hard for me to support Monique on a public platform, but what I will not do is speak out against her on a public platform. No way, no how. If she thinks she deserved that, go get it, girl. You know what I'm saying? Go after it. But nah, I can't. When you start talking about boycotting versus creating our own, then I got to back away from that and let you go ahead on the ride that solo, because boycotting has not worked out for us.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, like, I can't stand it. Everything they want to boycott. Real changes are going to happen when there are real sacrifices, and you're going to have to change your lifestyle, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's just,
anyway. I don't know what we're scared of, but we definitely
losing everything.
Losing acceptance by white people.
We ain't got nothing.
That's right.
People are
afraid to sacrifice just having on a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes and bags and just things that are material. People don't want to let go of, because if you think about it, a lot of the branding and things that people tend to gravitate to is usually to make them feel better about themselves. Like, it's a status. So you driving a Benz versus driving a Honda, you know, you look like you got it together.
Right.
A lot of people are not willing to let that go. They're not.
That's true.
Right. Well, y'all want to do a part two, or do y'all want to go into one last topic?
It's almost 11 o'clock. Yeah, let's do part two. Part two of foreplay, y'all. Coming.
All right, ladies.
Yes, yes, next week. Part two, foreplay, y'all.
I know, right? All right, y'all. Good night.
All right, later, Gator. Be safe.
Good night.
Good night.
Housekeeping as per usual, because we like a clean house. Please share our podcast with all the women in your circle, men included. We hope that you get something from this and enjoy the show. You can follow us on all our social mediums. Our main webpage is www.freedomtrainradio.com/teatime, B as in black, WT. Please check out our sponsors on www.paxinc.org. That is P as in powerful, ACTSINC.org. Without them, well, we'd be around, but they are definitely supportive. So, also, we are on Facebook at Tea Time Black Women Talk. We are on Instagram, Black Women Talk, Tea Time. At Black Women Talk Tea Time. We kind of had to flip things a little bit. On Twitter, we are at teatime_BWT. And you can hear us on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. All minds and hearts clear. Together we will be great. Together we, alongside of our brothers, will rebuild our nation. Cups empty, hearts full. We hope to see you next time as we sip. One love, black power. There's a part two.